Hi, welcome to Foreplay. This is Lori Watson, sex therapist and author, and I'm here with psychotherapist Tony Delmedico. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, we're going to talk about all things sexual and intimate and how you can get the most out of your sex life.
You can check us out on the web at foreplayrst.com. Visit us and send us an email if you'd like. Lori, where will Foreplay lead us today?
Okay, this is Tony's topic, I gotta say. And we're going to talk today about boobs, butts, and bulges.
It's got to be
erogenism.
It's fun just to say out loud, boobs, butts, and bulges.
It's hard to say out loud, boobs, butts, and bulges. Yeah, you're right. So, okay, you start. What about boobs and butts and bulges?
Well, I think what brought the topic to mind, particularly for couples that have been in relationship for a while, foreplay gets shortened. We had a whole episode on kissing and how we want more presence in the kissing. Mm-hmm. And it seems like in foreplay and in sex, we get very goal directed. We focus on the boobs, the butts, and the bulges, and then just get right to intercourse. And, and I think at Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy,
first,
we're
second, third, and home.
Yeah, we're advocating slowing down and really exploring your own body and your partner's. And so I think maybe just exploring what goes on in our bodies and our partners far beyond just the big three.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know? And that will really help us if we figure out all the erogenous zones and other parts of our body. That kind of helps us get around those bases faster.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm imagining the conversations I've had with guys through the years, and are you a boob guy? Are you a butt guy? Are you? And the conversation really doesn't go much.
There's a few
past
men
that
out there, thank God, that are leg men.
Yeah, leg man for sure.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm all about the bass. A recent popular song. So, but I think sensuality goes far beyond any of those things. But somehow, in our minds and culture, we've focused in on those three. And I think just opening it up to giving our listeners maybe a remembrance of all the other parts that they have and their partners have that lead to feeling very close and connected and can be very pleasurable and sensuous. So since I've come up with the topic, Lori, I'm curious to know what's come up with you as you were thinking about boobs and butts and bulges. I mean, what do women sit around talking about?
What was funny is it wasn't until I was like thinking about what I wanted to say for a good 15, 20 minutes, I was thinking bulges. You know, okay, Tony's going to talk about our, you know, midlife bulges. He wants to talk about rolls and fat. And it wasn't until later that I'm like, no. He's talking about that bulge. That's the bulge he's talking
about. Like, the fragile male ego.
I am so female, you know, to like totally miss it over my head, you know, like where you were going with this.
It wasn't boobs, butts, and muffin tops. It was bulges.
I get it. I do. That's I say oftentimes that, you know, men like to come up behind a woman and then in the kitchen and, you know, cup her breasts and bump her with his bulge. And, you know, I mean, I think that for him, you know, this is very sexy. And for women, like what you talked about, this other erogenous zones and kind of more general arousal is really many times what she needs to get there, because she's not, as we've talked about before, instantly sexual. She may not be in a sexual place. I mean, that might work if she was, but most of the time she's not if she's cooking dinner. And so this,
with,
you know,
little children scrambling at her feet.
Lord, those are difficult years. Oh, yeah. Really tough. Yeah. So, I mean, he thinks about going for broke first, second, and third oftentimes, and maybe makes the mistake of sexually approaching that way without something a little more subtle.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And and I think to get to those other places, we have to, and that's what we're advocating with Foreplay RST, is slowing down. Just slowing down and trying to create some space to explore each other without the goal being the home run or the climax or anything else, but just to enjoy the bodies and our partner's bodies that we get a chance to inhabit for a while.
Right. I think if he came up behind her and kind of swept her hair away and kissed the back of her neck, that would be sexy.
Back of her neck. So there's an erogenous zone.
Yeah, there's a good erogenous zone.
Yeah.
The back of the neck.
Back of the neck, and some would say the side of the neck, the front of the neck. So the neck's a very erogenous zone.
It's kind of just sexy when you say that, Tony.
Yeah.
There's going to be women calling in.
Where's my Barry White voice when I need it?
How do I go see Tony?
Yeah, right. Operators are standing by. And I think as we start to think about other parts that are sensuous, I think we go to some others that are sort of self-explanatory. I mean, inner thighs are very, very sensitive places.
Sure, sure.
The bottom of the bottom there where the cheeks meet the upper thigh or the upper hamstring, very sensitive place, I think, for men and for women. Collarbones, the undersides of your arm.
That's my husband's
arm
favorite
form.
Part on a woman is her collarbones. He thinks that's kind of the most beautiful part of a woman.
I'm thinking,
I can say on the air.
Good for you. I'm thinking about back in colonial times. I mean, the dress for men were in the knickers that came up above the thigh, and so just below the knee, and so the shape of a man's calf was considered very very sexy and sensuous. So
yeah.
And for some men, certainly the shape of a woman's leg,
right?
Just the curvature can be very sensuous as well. So I would encourage you, if you're listening today, to begin the dialogue with your partner. We've had other episodes on how to have sex talk or how to have the ongoing continuous sex talk with your partner. And this is just a wonderful, fun topic that you can both bring up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the sensuous part of your body? What do you find sensuous on me? What turns you on when you're watching the big screen with couples?
Mm-hmm. Right. And we would love to hear from you, too. So please send us your feedback at foreplayrst at any point, or questions. We're glad to answer questions. And we know that you have things to teach us and tell us about sex and things that you'd like to hear us talk about. So we'd love all your feedback.
You bet. So today we'll be naming some parts that are more erogenous, but hopefully there'll be a little bit of science behind it too, Laura.
We have to name the parts.
Name the parts. Parts are parts.
Are we going to name them with slang, or are we going to name them scientifically? How are we going to? What words are we going to use, Timmy?
Is there a euphemism for nose, schnoz, nostrils?
Yes. Yeah. See, there's lots.
So, if you have done a little bit of research here, and if you go on WebMD, it will say that the nose is also an erogenous zone. In fact, the nasal passages actually have erectile tissue.
Yes.
And when you're aroused, things open up, and just the nostrils themselves as well. So it seems like our First Nations people, our Eskimos, were onto something with Eskimo kisses. But you know, even in our episode on kissing, you talked about tilting your head to the side, and there
is so you don't conk noses.
Yeah, but there is a lot of touching with the nose, in addition to lips and tongues and everything else. So not overlooking just how sensitive it feels in your own body and your partner's.
Mm-hmm.
So
just in terms of the nose as a touch place, not just as what we use it for, olfactory senses, right?
Yeah, I think it's in play. I mean, in the whole grand scheme of things, just don't graze over it.
And earlobes?
Ears are very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
Insides of ears, outsides of ears. And again, depending on the person that you're with and what feels good to them.
I have a child, though, who like has always been sensitive, had sensitive ears. Like, don't touch his ears.
Yeah.
You know, when he was, you know, growing up, I almost said to the girlfriend, don't ever touch his ears.
Yeah.
The hair cutters, yeah, he didn't like that. I don't know. And God willing, I won't ever know. You know, anything more about his ears, but some people are hypersensitive. The things we think would be sexy are not so sexy, right?
Oh, for sure. And I think particularly with the couples that come into our consulting rooms, there can be a lot of wounding around one partner wanting to touch a certain part on you and you having a bad experience from earlier in life, and have that really be re-traumatizing, and they don't understand why they can't grab you and get on top of you if you've been pinned down before.
Right. Okay, explain what you mean by wounding. Like, how does that wound? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, just what I said. If you were in a situation where you were held down against your will, just the fact that someone is on top of you may trigger that old wound.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone who's not been held down against their own will, they wouldn't understand, well, what? Everybody climbs on top. Why? What's your problem with this?
So
why do you always have to be on top?
Their wounding is being rejected.
It may have been, Well, there's the wounding of the person that had the old wound.
The recreation of a trauma.
Back. Yeah. And then the person that's trying to climb on top is going, wait, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong here? So he's feeling shut down, and there's a second wound that's being created. And if they can just stop and begin to have the conversation, that opens up some empathy for what this person is up against. That, wait, it's not as simple as you won't let me on top because you feel uncomfortable. You've actually been really mistreated earlier in life.
Yeah.
And this is really harder for you than
What happens, though, or what have you seen when maybe one person really, really, really likes to do something, some act or touch some place, and the other person, that is totally not, that is not acceptable? I mean, that it's either too sensitive or it doesn't feel good. It, you know, the, one person thinks it's erogenous and it's sexy, and the other person says, not for me, thank you very much.
Yeah, I think having the conversation outside of the moment, I think always, first and foremost, you have to respect the boundaries that are there whenever they're put up for whatever reason. So I think advocate no is no under any circumstances.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and then coming back later and
even
saying—
Even if you're married, no is no.
Especially if you're married. I mean, well, not especially, but just in general. You don't have a divine right, to put yourself in spaces that you're not welcomed. But I think having the conversation the next day or later on going, you know, what is this for you? Is this just something you haven't done before? Or is this connected to earlier wounding? And then for that couple just to have a dialogue around it and then realize that, you know, you have somebody that has earlier wounding and you're going to have some special care here with her and get some counseling, get some help if it's important for both of you. But it actually can be a great gift to that person to say, I honor that this is hard for you. And I'm not going to put you in this uncomfortable position. It actually creates trust between the two of them and may open up more intimacy. So,
right. Well, let's come back to some of these thoughts and these special places that are our erogenous zones next with Foreplay with Tony Telmedico and Lori Watson. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Okay, welcome back to Foreplay. We are here, Lori Watson, sex therapist, and Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist.
Lori, today, sorry.
Go ahead. You go right ahead, Tony.
Today we're talking about boobs, butts, and bulges.
Right, those bulges that I didn't know what the heck you were talking about.
Not muffin tops.
Not muffin tops. We are talking about another bulge. You know, men often wonder if women observe their bulges. Like, do women look?
I think men are looking at other places. I think muffin tops are a woman's thing. Yeah, women are often checking out how women dress far more than men do.
Uh-huh.
I think women dress for women.
Yeah, I was saying I think men wonder if women are looking at the bulge.
Ah,
you know,
I missed the question.
Good
question. Do women look at men's bulges? And not their bellies and their distended livers?
Right. I essentially think probably not very openly. Unless maybe the woman was very attracted to him and it was a come on. I mean, maybe then it's a sexy look, right? It's a pointed look, so to speak. But I would say most women don't. Although I've had, you know, a few girlfriends who talk about that they observe that. But I think men are really self-conscious and they think that they are.
Well, we're getting
women
into
not
very
so much.
Well, we've ventured very quickly into very sensitive male ego territory,
yes.
Which is, does size matter and does the size of the bulge matter? And I think maybe today we're talking about other erogenous zones, and we should probably leave that for a topic in and of itself for another day.
Okay, we will not.
My
talk
sensitive
about
male
that.
Ego is saying swim this way.
I can see.
Inquiring minds do want to know.
We need to go somewhere else.
That's funny.
But speaking of the male parts,
the bulge,
there are specific parts on the male bulge that are more sensitive and more erogenous than other parts.
Ah, this is good information, Lori.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Okay, so I'm going to say some words out loud, but I'm going to use the scientific words.
Great.
The perineum, which is actually below the scrotum, pressure there is an erogenous zone because it's the front side of the prostate gland. And so sometimes good pressure there can really sort of give him a great erotic feeling. And a lot of women don't know that. A lot of men don't know that, for that matter.
So do you mean light pressure or heavy pressure?
Pretty firm pressure, because it's through the wall there to get to the prostate gland. But it's the front side of the prostate gland. And so when you're making love, that can be helped. Also, vibration for a man right there can be a good thing. Mm. And then the backside of, right sort of at the underside of the helmet of the tip of his penis, it's called the frenulum. And it's kind of a little bit of skin that is where essentially the foreskin was attached, if he's circumcised or if he is not circumcised, where it is attached. Mm-hmm. That little area right there is highly, 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 highly sensitive. So, you know, you can pay attention to that maybe after he's aroused a little bit too. It might not be the first place to go or to pay close attention in the beginning, but later on that's an erogenous zone on his penis itself.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Lori. I was also thinking with respect to the man's body. I know we think about nipples often in terms of the female body.
Right.
But a man's nipples are, from what I understand, have as many nerve endings as the female nipples as well, and can be very erogenous for a man. And I think it's a place that's often overlooked.
For some men. And some men have absolutely no feeling. As for the record, some women have very little feeling in their nipples, which is crazy because we don't think that, but it is true.
Hmm.
And while we're at really specific parts, I know we'll go back to sort of other ways to arouse partners, but do you know what the A spot is?
The A spot. For a man or for a woman?
This isn't fair on air, is it?
My eyes are getting big and I'm getting scared. I've heard of the G spot, Lori, but I have not heard of the A spot.
That's right. Deep inside the female vagina, like just before the cervix. So that's where the cervix is, the opening of the uterus, where that connects with the vagina. Deep inside on the roof of her vagina, if she's on her back, there's the G spot first and then the A spot. And it's actually a stretch pressure point that can feel really good with intercourse. It's possible, but not likely, to be able to be reached with fingers, maybe more with, you know, a sex toy or something. But that spot can be really highly sensitive for her. And it's often, sometimes people don't even know about it.
Wow. The A spot. Well, we've learned something new here today on Foreplay RST, for sure. I guess, you know, inquiring minds want to know, has the A spot always been around in terms of, we know about the clitoris and the labia, or is this something that is more recently?
Well, I'm glad you know about the clitoris, because it cannot be said enough that that really is the spot for women in terms of her most nerve endings is right there.
Mm-hmm.
But the A spot hasn't been named until some, you know, of late this century, but it's always been there.
Didn't mean it that way. It's an evolutionary appendage.
And the G spot. I just read an article, somebody saying, you know, that the G spot was, you know, all made up, and it's not. It's really there.
Right. In fact.
It's kind of the underside of the clitoral structure too. So maybe that's what they were trying to say, is make a scientific point.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. But big, big points on the body.
Yeah, wonderful points and wonderful information, Lori. Thinking about other erogenous zones, and I did not know this either, but the belly button is an erogenous zone. According to WebMD, the belly button for a woman is made of the same tissue as the clitoris.
Really? So I didn't know that.
I did not know that either until I did my homework. And touching that or licking it can be stimulating. It may be too much for a woman, because some women don't like their belly buttons played with. But that's a bit of information and a bit of a spot to hang out if your partner likes it.
Right.
Well.
The belly button can have interesting nerves that connect internally inside her.
Hmm.
So that is, like, it's not necessarily the same for every woman, but it does have different nerve endings that kind of hit beyond the actual skin of the belly button, but they hit her deep inside too, which is interesting. Sort of almost connected generally.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Nerves are wonderful.
Yeah. The small of a back on a woman, there's a lot of nerve endings in her sacral spot that lead down into her vagina as well. So I think a lot of massaging, karate chops, bringing some heat to a woman's lower back and some pressure, oftentimes for women, can feel very pleasurable.
Right. And it's just kind of a sexy touch, isn't it? I mean, if you're escorting your wife into a theater or something and putting your hand on the small of her back, I mean, that's just very intimate. You know, most men, you know, it's, you know, they would touch her on your shoulders maybe, or give you a hug, but only an intimate really touches the small of your back.
Mm. Do you have some other spots, Lori? Some other erogenous zones?
Other hints?
Not to put you on the pressure. I'm also thinking about feet.
Feet. Oh, well. So many women talk about they love their feet rubbed. It's so relaxing for them.
So doing
and all the nerve endings there, right?
Yeah. I mean, then was it
acupressure? Right.
Yeah, there's a whole science of medicine that's grown out of that.
Yeah, so. I think there's one spot on the foot that like can bring orgasm. I'm not really sure what that is. We should look that up and figure that out.
Bring in a
for
trained
people.
Professional. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for men, and some of the reading I've done, for men, the soles of a man's feet versus the toes for a woman. So they were saying if you go over to the third toe on a man and you drop down a third of the way on the sole of his feet and you apply some pressure there, that they call that the bubbling spring. And somehow that's supposed to bring sexual energy up a man's legs and into his genitals. And for a woman, it's more the toes and rolling around or pinching the sides of her big toe oftentimes can have a profound effect on her as well.
You can tell me if this is true or not, but I hear men talk about that any touch that their wife or their long-term partner gives them, you know, like they can be sitting on the couch and she leans over and puts her hand on his knee. Like he feels that as kind of tingly all over, like this electric kind of feeling. Do you think that a lot of men tell you, or do you feel that sometimes this electric touch, even long into the relationship?
You know, I'm having flashbacks to earlier conversations about kisses and this idea of ritual kissing versus pleasure kissing. Mm-hmm. And I think it just depends on the man and the situation. So if we're sitting there as mommy and daddy with the kids on Christmas morning, that touch may be interpreted for that man as just nice job, hon. Mm-hmm. We got through Christmas.
Great bikes.
Got through the holidays again. Yeah,
you
great
did
bikes.
Good.
Yeah, you did good. We're doing good.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. And I think that's very different than maybe having a dinner out and having your leg touched by your partner.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say that women tell me that the first touches that a man, you know, the first time he laces his fingers in between yours, or the first kiss, the first, you know, just the first briefest of brushes almost, it feels so electric. And they ask me, you know, I don't ever feel that anymore. Does that mean I'm not attracted to my partner, or I don't, something has shifted? Like they don't feel that kind of tingly sensation hardly ever on a first touch. Not that they can't get aroused sexually. That's not what I'm talking about. But I do have men tell me, like, boom, it just electric, you know, any touch. And I was just thinking about your foot bubbling spring. I mean, I don't know if it even takes that for some men.
And I think, like you're saying, over time, everything does shift. And we've talked in earlier episodes about how it shifts and changes over time. I'm thinking about the song, A Kiss to Build a Dream On. So there is that electric first kiss. It can be the moment he kissed me, I knew, or the moment I kissed her, I knew she was the one. And I don't think you can ever go back and recreate that kiss. As a couple, you can celebrate that kiss and you can talk about it as the thing that just knocked you head over heels. That's not to say you're not going to have a lifetime of amazing intimate kisses, but I think in our minds we build it up. We have some nostalgia for that amazing first kiss.
But there's nothing wrong if we don't feel that every time.
Right. In fact, I don't think you're supposed to. Yeah.
We look forward to the mountaintops, you know, the peaks of not just of orgasm, but of those tingling moments, you know, when we're electric for our spouse or for our partner.
Right. And I think just allowing the sex to be whatever it is that night. If it's amazing, it's amazing. If it's just something to lower your anxiety so you can both go to sleep, that's wonderful too.
So my tip of the day.
Yeah, you've got a tip for your erogenous zones, Lori?
You know, his tip is the most sensitive part. You got to remember that.
The tip is the tip from Lori Watson. I think for me, Lori, we have not talked about the most erogenous zone on males or females. Completely overlooked. The sexiest spot is your mind. So don't forget that.
Yes, absolutely. You're so right. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with psychotherapist Tony Del Medico
and sex therapist Lori Watson.
We'll see you next time for some more Foreplay.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.